This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, we have done it. We have made it to the end of the weekend. Well, end of the week, and it's all downhill from here. And we're going to have a good time tonight on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Excellent question. Someone wants to know, how are we supposed to overcome these communists when they don't listen? They won't listen to facts. We'll talk about that. Yes, unsurprisingly, you have a million questions about China, Iran, Poland, the Straits of Hormuz. It's on your mind? So as promised, I'm going to answer your questions on that. In fact, we'll begin with all that kind of stuff. There are food questions, local questions, national questions, international questions, all that and more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here with this one, though. Before we get to the international things, which, as you are well aware, is not really my thing, but nothing we can do right now. It's dominating the news, and people are happy, people are mad, people are concerned about Iran, so it's on your mind, and I told you Friday belongs to you, so I'll get to them, but I want to get to this one first, because I'm worried that you get frustrated sometimes, and I get frustrated sometimes, so let's talk about this. Dear Baron of Baskin-Robbins, I actually like Baskin-Robbins a lot. When I was a kid, we didn't go out to eat a lot. It's not something we did. But when we would go out, 1 out of 4 times, 1 out of 10 times, occasionally after we'd go out to eat. And go out to eat was McDonald's or something like that. We would stop by, we had a Baskin-Robbins in my hometown, and we would stop by Baskin-Robbins, and they had chocolate ice cream with the peanut butter in it, the chocolate peanut butter ice cream. Oh, gosh. Anyway, dear Baron of Baskin-Robbins, how are we supposed to defeat the communists when they remain willfully ignorant? I work with a man who still firmly believes that Trump said to inject bleach into your veins, and I was physically attacked by a black man for stating that George Floyd overdosed. Neither is willing to consider any information outside of their view. Says his name is Andy. Okay, so what do you do with the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life who you've talked to and talked to and talked to and they just don't listen? It's like talking to the wall. And the closer that person is to you, the more frustrating it can be. And that person, if they're close enough, it can go from frustrating to heartbreaking, can it? Maybe that's your husband, your wife, your mom, your daughter, your son. That goes from being frustrating. You know, a coworker not listening is frustrating. When it's your daughter, that could be flat out heartbreaking. What's wrong with her? Did I do something wrong? That kind of conversation you have with yourself. I'm going to set aside the family relation part of that for a moment, but I want to remind you, we don't have to change every mind. I'm glad that you want to, and I want to. I want every person to wake up just like you do. I want people to know the truth and see the truth. I want it just like you want it. But we also understand that that's not realistic. There are going to be people who we can't wake up or can't wake up yet. Remember, cult people who leave cults, they don't do it in a day. It doesn't happen in a day. I've talked to you about this many times before. If you're working on somebody who's a Democrat in your life, a dirty communist in your life, and you're frustrated, it's been a year, it's been 2 years, I talked to him, it's been 20 years, Jesse, she won't wake up. Well, go watch an interview of somebody who left a cult. They never say, never. I woke up one morning and said, it's not for me. I got my car and I left. Little bits of truth slowly start penetrating the lies. Slowly. It takes a lot of time, patience, and effort. That's one. So if you're working on someone you really care about and you need them to wake up, keep working patiently. Don't ever let it devolve into a knockdown, drag-out fight. Don't disown your daughter. Just keep working, loving her. She may wake up one day, grow her hair long again, lose 50 pounds, and you're on your way. All right? Now, what about the ones we can't save? Well, we just cut them off. And I don't mean cut them off, just block their phone number. That's not what I'm talking about. If we can't save them, we cut them off from power, from choke points of power. You realize that for the last 100 years, more than 100 years, the societies that have successfully dealt with communism, including us for a very long time, we successfully held back communism here. You know how we did that? Well, we simply said, well, you're not allowed to have power here. Communists, did you know that right now in the United States of America, it's against the law to be a communist and hold elected office? Now, of course, you're throwing your hands in the air and saying, well, how do we have all these communists in office? Okay, it's a law that's ignored. Many laws are ignored, but you have to cut them off from power. I'm not being over the top for radio when I tell you, if you're an employer, you should fire the communists who work for you. You should. For the good of your company. Not out of spite. Really not even for political reasons, not because you don't like their politics, but because you understand that person, that's a subversive, and they're going to use your company in some way for the revolution, and they're going to use it in a way that harms your company, and they're not going to feel bad about it. They're going to feel like they're the good guys in that scenario. Don't hire them. Do not hire them. They should just simply be cut off from power. You know something great that's happening in the country right now? Something great we're not talking about? People are moving. They're leaving blue states and they're moving to red states. I could pull up a map. There's all kinds of maps out there right now, but I'm not going to bore you with details on it. All kinds of maps right now showing the migration of Americans. Who's leaving where, which states are adding people, which states are losing people. And of course, unsurprisingly, it's almost all blue states who are losing people. California, freaking paradise. Gosh, California is just such a paradise. California is hemorrhaging people because the communists have made it so unlivable. Now, why is that good news? Why should you even care? You're not moving. Well, they lose power. When people leave, they lose congressional seats. They lose electoral college votes. By making life miserable for everybody, the communists in the United States of America, in the areas they control, they are actually weakening the areas they control. California, our richest, most powerful state by a mile, they're going the opposite direction when it comes to political power because you're getting in a U-Haul and you're driving to Florida. You have said enough is enough. Now, I know that doesn't solve the midterms, right? I understand that. It doesn't change the polling today. It sucks. But I understand that. And we're going to get to that. We will. But on a 30,000-foot view level, on a macro level, looking down on it, the people of the United States of America, they are fleeing the communist-controlled areas, which is slowly but surely cutting them off from having significant power in our country. And that's a good thing. So back to your question. You keep working on the communists in your life. Keep trying to tell them the truth. Keep showing them facts. If they don't ever come around, fine. Cut them off. Just cut them off. You can't allow these people to have access to you. My wife had to cut off a relative of hers. Some crazy lesbian communist nasty freak all over social media every day. Ah, Trump! Every single day. Well, my wife let it go. She would never. My wife's not hyper-political, so she would never let that bother her too much. It bugged her, but she never let it bother her until that nasty woman sent my wife a real nasty message. I read it to you on air. It was all about me, of course. Now, how could you stand for that? Ah! My wife didn't stress it. Okay, boop, blocked, cut off. Blocked her number, cut her off. Goodbye. Never talked to her again. every society who successfully dealt with communists has understood you have to cut them off. They have to be completely cut off. They are destroyers. They serve a religion of destruction. So when you have someone like that, when you have some rabid dog, you just have to put him in a cage. Just can't let him around the kids. Just got to put him in a cage, leave him there, hope for the best. Hopefully you didn't watch too much Old Yeller. All right, let's do some Iran talk because you have more questions. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Chris, can we go ahead and take that song and roll it up in a nice little wad and toss it into an active volcano and never play that again on the show? It's a really, really bad. No, it is a call and response song. It's a garbage call and response song. We've talked about it 1,000 times before. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We don't need it on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's get back to the questions. Hey, Jesse, the subject of this one is Hormuz. That would be the Strait of Hormuz. You've been saying it for months. Get prices down. Norma care only about the moment. And I agree 1,000%. I know someone close to Trump listens to you. I think he insists on someone listening to the top conservative shows. So she says, what is he doing in capital letters? He has 7 months to turn these polls around, and it doesn't seem like he's hearing the message. She said, I can say her name. Her name is Shelby. Okay. All right. So you say he doesn't seem to be hearing the message. All right. So let's rewind a little bit. Donald Trump, let's remember Trump's background. This is important to remember. Donald Trump is a business mogul. He's one of these business mogul billionaire types, lives in a penthouse type thing. These types of guys, they're never involved in just one kind of business. I'm sure there are billionaires who are involved in one kind, but I've never heard of one. They always end up being investors, significant investors in this. They'll own a piece of this. You know, so when it comes to Trump, if he's going to own a piece of a golf course, all of a golf course, a string of casinos, a restaurant, he's going to have a bunch of different things. So do you believe that Donald Trump is the smartest human being ever to walk the planet? Even if you think he's smart, and I think he's very smart, I don't think he's the smartest human being ever. That's ridiculous. He doesn't know how to do all those things. He doesn't know how to run a restaurant and run a casino and run a golf course. And he shouldn't have to know that because he's the big boss. Smart big bosses, smart billionaires like Trump have spent their careers seeking out the best, smartest people and hiring them and then leaning on them for advice when something needs to be done. Yes, the ultimate say will come back to him always, but Trump, set aside the presidency, just go back to his business life. How many meetings does that guy have every single freaking day? He's got to meet with this person and that person and this business and this bank. He needs someone there every minute to give him the ins, the outs, advice on this and that. He needs people to lean on. If you even ever watched The Apprentice, my wife and I used to watch it all the time when we were younger, when it was on TV. You saw this circle around him, his kids, his lawyer, his business partner. And he would always, hey, this is the guy's been with me forever. Trump, like any powerful person, surrounds himself with people he thinks are really smart, and he leans on them for critical advice at critical moments. He does. And really, all powerful men do this. He will weigh the advice he's been given and then make a decision from there. But what's the critical component of all that? The really, really critical component of all that. If I'm a super powerful man, and I'm not, but if I'm a super powerful man and I want to surround myself with the smartest people and I'm going to lean on those people for advice on things, what's the most critical thing in that equation? Hiring the right people. You have to have the right people. Let's rewind back to the first Trump administration. I know this is not going to be the best memory in the world, but let's rewind back to the first Trump administration. Because you brought up me and the other people inside the White House that listen to the show, things like that. When COVID first hit, China was putting out all this scary propaganda. I did have people inside the White House, and I actually have a picture on my phone of one of my tweets sitting on Trump's desk. He's reading it. And it was a warning. You better not lock down the country. That was what the tweet was about. If you lock down the country, this is going to be devastating for the United States of America. And of course, that ended up being true, but pause. And I'll tell you what I was told back then by my guy who was right next to Trump, one of my guys. He said, the White House is very hot. It's divided. Half the people are telling Donald Trump, don't shut the freaking economy down. What, are you kidding me? Don't shut the economy. And the other half were telling him, 50 million people are going to die if you don't shut the economy down. Do you want to be the president who watches 50 million people die? You better shut the country down now. And there was a huge debate in the White House. You weren't behind those doors, and I wasn't behind those doors, but I know that happened. It was a huge debate behind the White House. And in the end, Trump obviously listened to the side that said shut the country down. And from there, we have 25% of our income that's now been destroyed by inflation. Donald Trump didn't get reelected because of that whole thing. It allowed him to steal an election with mail-in ballots and everything. I mean, the disastrous results downstream of that decision to listen to the wrong group of people will be felt by your children. Think about that. Think about how crazy that is. These critical moments in time where you go left when you should have gone right, and it's the end of the world. Well, that was one of those moments for Trump. He chose, and he chose wrong, and it was devastating. Now, fast forward to where we're at now. We'll talk about this, the people around him, some things that are being said, some concerns some people are having, because, again, there's a division inside the White House. You may not know about it. Before we get to that, let's get to this. I am grateful for the COVID era for this. It's the reason I discovered Chalk. Two things happened at once. I was getting more and more disenfranchised with the medical industry in this country. And I began to find out which corporations actually had guts, who would stand up to all these ridiculous decrees and things like that. Chalk calls iHeart and says, who's this Jesse Kelly guy ranting against masks and lockdowns? We like that. I got to know Chalk. And then I got to know natural herbal supplements and how much they can change your life. I started taking a male vitality stack over 4 years ago. I sat down with them. They said, you're not going to believe the difference it makes in your life. And boy, were they right. My levels are great. Life is good. C-H-O-Q. They have things for men, women, young, old, pre-workouts, the male vitality stacks, female vitality stacks. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Yeah. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So someone is, in case you're just now joining us, frustrated and said, Trump said he was going to get the prices down. Now he's over there. Was he not listening? And so I kind of recapped COVID, right? Trump surrounds himself with all kinds of people. He tries to hire the best he can. Sometimes he's really bad at that. Sometimes he's really good at that. Let's give credit where it's due. He's made some great hiring decisions. First administration was a bunch of bad ones. But he puts these people around him, and then he leans on them for advice. Okay? With me? Now, there are a couple different things happening right now. And I'll be honest with you, they're not going our way. First of all, I'm not changing the subject. I'll come back to Iran. I want to focus on something I know. I'll put it to you that way. Mass deportation. Donald Trump ran for president talking about mass deportation every day, all day at the campaign. You remember the rallies? I don't have to remind you of it. Mass deportation, mass deportation, mass deportation, mass deportation, over and over and over again. In fact, Trump went way further than that. Over and over and over again, he said loudly and publicly, the largest mass deportation in history. That's what he said. And to his credit, he didn't change that message after he won the primary. In the general election, he told the whole country over and over again, the largest mass deportation in history. He shouted it over and over and over and over and over again. Right? You with me? Now, he starts his first year. And he, I know you're frustrated with it sometimes because it goes slow. He's been really good on the border. He shut the border down. And he has deported over 2 million people. The self-deportations count. Just get out. He's getting things done right. And then something happened. The communists launched an op. This will come back to Iran. You just got to be patient. The communists launched an op in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We had ICE in there rounding up barbarians. And the communists funded their street animals to take it to the streets. And two of them ended up getting shot and killed by the feds. Two communist street animals died. The Trump administration hated the optics, hated the death. The media, of course, pounced on it. And what happened next, and you heard me talk about this at the time, instead of doubling down, the Insurrection Act, all that other stuff, instead of doubling down, Trump blinked. He took Greg Bovino, the guy who was in charge of things up there. He reassigned him. You haven't seen any more street animal protests up there, have you? Because much of the activity has stopped. Trump had people in his ear telling him, this is a disaster for us politically. We have got to back off. Now, that's not the inside info yet. Have you noticed the GOP saying things like this a lot lately?
We got a little hiccup with some of the
This is House. This is no, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
We got a little hiccup with some of the Hispanic and Latino voters, for certain, because some of the immigration enforcement was viewed to be overzealous. And
that's not at all true, by the way. Hispanic people overwhelmingly, to the tune of something like 80%, support the deportation of illegals. That's not true. Why is Mike Johnson saying that? Well, the White House, they met with the House of Representatives, the GOP in the House, and they told them, shut up about mass deportation now. We don't want to hear it anymore. What? Why? People inside the White House, swamp creature losers inside the White House, got freaked out about two dead street animals in Minneapolis. And they decided that mass deportations were bad for politics, were bad for polling numbers. And they got into Trump's ear and they told him, we have to back off, we have to back off, we have to back off, we have to back off. Now, for what a little birdie told me. I have to be so insanely vague here, and I apologize, but in... out of necessity for protecting people, I have to be extremely vague. You either read between the lines or just ignore it. I can't get any more specific than this. People inside of a major government agency, one that deals with deportations, they have reached out and they have said, hey, I'm telling you right now, it looks like they're backing away from mass deportation. And when they reached out, they did not reach out for any other reason than, hey, we're concerned. It looks like they're backing away from mass deportation. If that is true, and I have no reason to believe it's not true, because they didn't want to be named. All they wanted was the word to get out there, so maybe the White House could be pushed back in the other way. What does it tell you? yes, there are incredible people around Donald Trump. Really sharp people, no question about it. There are still DC swamp rat snakes sitting right next to Donald Trump, giving him advice that is good for the swamp, good for their 401ks, not at all good for the United States of America. Donald Trump has been told by his advisors and clearly believes it that mass deportation is unpopular, and he is, as of now, flirting with the idea of backing off it. We know for a fact the White House met with the House GOP and said, stop talking about it. Now, stop talking about it doesn't mean stop doing it. I'm not saying that, but that's a fact. We know that. That reporting went out there, and the White House didn't deny it. The White House met with the House Republicans and said, stop saying those words, mass deportation. So in 1 year, Trump was elected a year ago. We went from campaigning on mass deportation to, hey, stop saying that. What does that tell you? It should tell you that there are some people in and around Donald Trump who do not share your desires to see large amounts of foreign barbarians deported. I did not mean to change the subject. I wasn't changing the subject. But this lady, Shelby was her name, asked, hey, get prices down. They know they have to get prices down. They know that has to be the focus. Now we have Marines on the way over to Iran. I know you saw that story from earlier today. Marines getting on the ships. They're heading to Iran. Supposed to be getting prices down. I mean, you remember what the voters are saying.
If you look right now, you look at a Fox News poll that recently came out. Look at this. Say the Trump administration is focused on the wrong things. 60% overall say that the Trump administration is focused on the wrong things. Look at that. 78% of independents say that the Trump administration is focused on the wrong things.
I don't care what you or I think. If 78% of independents think Trump is focused on the wrong things, the midterms are going to be a bloodbath. We are on the verge of a political wipeout in November if 78% of independents don't like us. That's bad. Trump thinks it's about mass deportations. All right. Now let's discuss what you were asking about all the rest of this stuff. Why? What's the why? Before we get to that, let's get to this. Abortion is just not a popular political topic today. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody campaigns on it. And I get that. Look, we just talked about what people care about, what they don't care about. The masses don't care about it, but I care very deeply about it. And I hope you do too. I care very deeply that unborn babies are being massacred in the United States of America. Roe versus Wade being overturned hardly slowed these people down at all. How do we fight back against evil that prevalent? Preborn does it with the gift of ultrasound. Our greatest weapon against this scourge is ultrasound. Ultrasound. Give a woman an ultrasound. When she hears that heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. Or go to preborn.com/Jesse. $28 saves a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So let's finish up this particular portion of it. Why did Trump make the call now? Polls don't look great. Independents don't like, but we now have Marines on the way there. Why did he make the call now? Well, we don't know what intelligence was in front of him. Let's be honest about that. You don't know and I don't know and we'll never know. The president has the highest levels of classified intelligence. Now, hang on for a second. Before you get mad at me, that doesn't mean you can't ever question things. You can always question the president, no matter what. That's your right. You're not a subject. You're a citizen. Don't ever be a subject. But He does know things that I don't know and you don't know. Trump said why, though. Now, before I play this, there was a problem in Trump 1.0, the first Trump administration. You heard me scream about him many, many times before. His name is Jared Kushner. Who is Jared Kushner? Jared Kushner is the husband of Ivanka, Trump's daughter. You know, Trump's blonde daughter. Her husband is Jared. But don't think of him as just some snot-nosed, pimple-faced kid. He's a billionaire and majorly powerful in his own right. So the word is, you ever heard of Peter Navarro? Sorry, we're going to get into some palace intrigue stuff here, so you're going to have to stay with me on some details. Peter Navarro, very sharp guy. He's one of the ones who got arrested by Trump's Biden's FBI. Very sharp guy. Has been a close guy and advisor to Donald Trump. Peter Navarro hates Jared Kushner with the fire of a thousand suns to the point where he wrote about how much he hates him in the book he wrote. Why? They're both on Trump's side. Why? Well, as Peter Navarro lays out, when Trump was on his way to doing hardcore America first things, the guy who would step in over and over and over again to stop it was Jared Kushner. Trump listens to Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner, I think, I don't want to misspeak here, but I'm pretty sure I remember this right. I think Jared Kushner called himself the Trump Whisperer. I think that's what Peter Navarro said. Jared Kushner was right next to Donald Trump, crapping on the things you and I wanted in Trump 1.0. Now, Jared Kushner is not in the White House all day, every day in Trump 2.0, which is probably why it's gone better in the first year. But he is bouncing all over the globe, working on behalf of the Trump administration on various negotiations from Ukraine to Israel to everything else. It's what he does, that private jet, international businessman lifestyle. It's what Jared Kushner does, okay? He may not be inside of the White House physically, but he is inside of Donald Trump's ear over and over and over and over again. Now, Trump got up and gave a speech. And this is what he said.
In my opinion, based on what Steve and Jared and Pete and others were telling me, Marco, so involved, that I thought that they were going to attack us. I thought they would, if we didn't do this at the time we did it, I think they had in mind to attack us. And
I'll leave it from there. We'll move on and do other questions. But you asked why the people around Donald Trump, the people he trusts and has trusted, told him we have to go now. It's time. We got to do it right now. Let's go. And what we need to do now is pray for wisdom for everybody. We need to pray for the safety of our troops. We need to pray for wisdom from the Trump administration, from all people involved. We need to pray. We should not be dismissive of the fact that we do have ground troops on the way now. We don't know that they're going in. We don't know they're going in yet. Let's not freak out yet, but now we have ground troops on the way. We just lost some people yesterday over Iraq. It was we'll read their names when they release their names. Air refueling in the air, these planes that refuel other planes in the air. Pilots are so exceptional and they make that look really easy much of the time. That's an insanely dangerous thing to fly big, big planes right next to each other. Think about this. When's the last time you were on a commercial airliner and you had turbulence bouncing you up and down? It's not like you're on paved roads up there in Nebraska with no turns. What happens? You see, either way, it's a very dangerous thing. We just lost more troops yesterday. We have ground troops now on the way. We need to pray for them, for their success, for their safety. We need to pray that this works out well for everybody. I remain, as I always have been, not really for, not really against. I'm cautious right now. I am cautious because you can see yourself getting walked into a quagmire you can't walk out of. That's the kind of thing that can happen pretty easily. We don't know. Today, as we speak, as a matter of fact, looks like we're dropping more bombs than we've dropped at any other day since. Just absolutely, look, I mean, Lindsey Graham told us about his weekend.
We're going to blow the hell out of these people.
Sounds like that's here now. So maybe that's it. Maybe by the time we sit down here on Monday, maybe it's wrapped up pretty much, nice and neat. The regime capitulated. We have a brand new regime stepping in there, and we're good to go, and the troops can come home. And if that happens with the Strait of Hormuz open, then we'll see those prices come back down and things will stabilize and even out. And November's still months and months away, if that happens. And I guess it could. We'll see. All right. I know you have other questions about the Strait and things like that, about how they're shutting it down. People want to know. We'll talk about that. I'm going to answer your questions. I promised you I would, and I will. We're going to stop talking about that for a moment, and we're going to talk about billionaire businessmen. They're really sharp, aren't they? So why do so many billionaire businessmen end up aligning themselves with the communists who hate them? Doesn't make sense. That's a really weird marriage, isn't it? We'll talk about that next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.